When I was sitting at my desk this morning, I realized something. I'm really blessed. I serve an amazing God. I get to study the Word and to try to put in a hi. Well, I just wondered where you were. Getting warm. And that I have this amazing privilege of being able to study the Word and try to come up with something to bring to share with you all. But the bigger blessing is that I get to come and spend time with you worshiping God. And that's an amazing privilege. That's an amazing blessing. And I thank you for that. So God really is forming us into a family. And in many ways probably has formed us into a family, but he won't let me go on continuing to share. And as you can tell, first time I heard that phrase up there, God wants a family, I really want you to put on your Berean hats and think about this as we go through this week and so forth. But because the first time I heard this, I went, come on, he's God. What's he need a family for? But it's not about needing a family. He wants a family because he wants to bless. I mean, when you think about it long enough, that God wants you, me, to be part of the family, I mean, doesn't it seem a little crazy to you? I mean, there's one of those motorcycles. Anyway, it does seem a little crazy. I mean, look at me. If you dare, look at you. Look at who I am. Why would he want me? Because of love. And because the truth of the matter is, when he looks at you, he sees you differently than you see yourself. When he looks at me, he sees me differently than I see myself. He sees this glorious piece of work. This thing that's covered by the blood of Jesus. This person who has accepted Christ as their personal Savior, who has been changed, born again. He sees us differently. And to really understand his love, if you want to move to Ephesians, open your Bibles to Ephesians, starting in chapter 1. But to really understand his love, we must start before the beginning. Reading out of Ephesians 1, verses 3, 4, and 5 in New Living Translation. And listen to this. Chris and I have this hanging on our mirrors, and Chris did it in a manner that put our names in each one. So we look at this every day, and we start with this scripture. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. I mean, just think about that. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And if you are born again, if you are saved, you are united with Christ, and you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, even when you don't think you are. Because what you think is a lie from the pit of hell. But it goes on. And this is where it's really cool. Well, that's really cool. But it just keeps getting better and better. Even before he made the world. Before he made the world. Okay, before Genesis 1. Before Jonah. Even before he made the world. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I mean, think about that. I mean, you want something to meditate upon. If every Christian would meditate on this, how much he loves him, how much he's blessed us, and then it gives him great pleasure, do you think the church would be different? I think it'd be radically different. So, Father, we thank you. And God, I just admit, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. The flesh doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. The world doesn't like it. I have a hard time understanding it, and yet it's true. So I pray that you, as we just go through this, that you would help us to really begin to get a glimpse of the love that you have for us and how badly you wanted to make us part of your family. It just doesn't seem right to me, Lord, but it is. So, Father, I pray that as we go through this, that you would just pierce our hearts with that which is of you. And the church said, amen. So why are we united with Christ? Why did he do this? Because he loves us. And because he loves us, he chose us. He adopted us before he made the world. Why he did that, I don't understand, but he did. We have a destiny. That's God. That's who he is. That's what he wanted. So Jesus went to the cross. So he could bless us with spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly realm. I mean, just... He's a giving God. And all of it planned before creation and carried out before creation, the loving, the choosing, and so forth. I mean, can you really dig it? As we used to say in the 60s, can you grasp it? Can you wrap your mind around it? I mean, the buzzword for today is perfect. How many people have interacted with somebody and they'll respond, perfect? And it's like, no, that wasn't perfect, but whatever. But this is perfect. Bless you. This is perfect. I mean, does it blow your mind? If it doesn't blow your mind, are you dead? Because it should. I mean, that's why we're praying for a new baptism of his love. So that us, the world, others, understand more and more how much he loves us and what he has done and how he so desperately loves us. And then we stop saying, no, we don't want more of you because we really just want to be comfortable. And I don't know if this is the spirit or my flesh, but we don't want to be, we find comfort in being lukewarm. Forgive me. But I want to say it again, God decided before the world was formed that he was going to love us, that he was going to choose us, that he was going to adopt us, that he was going to bring us into his family, and that he was going to give us these heavenly blessings. Yeah, we have a part to play. I'll get to that in a few moments. But ultimately, it wasn't because of anything we did. He, when he said this, he already knew what you would be like in those little dark moments. And it sure wouldn't qualify us for anything. No offense. But the only thing it qualified us for was eternal damnation. Because our righteousness was filthy rags, as it talks about in Isaiah 64:6. But God, don't you love those two words? But God, he had other plans. He wanted a family where we wouldn't be lonely. For me, when I have found myself lonely, I have examined it and I've looked and I went, when's the last time I got in a word? When's the last time I prayed? When I have the Smith Wigglesworth ongoing, don't pray for more five minutes, but pray, don't go more than 5 minutes without praying. I'm not lonely because I have this amazing relationship with this amazing God. And you know the world's full of lonely people. They're out there doing whatever they can do. And so I was driving to church this morning. I drove to church twice because I had to go home and get something that I forgot. Not that that happens all too often. But people were doing just weird things this morning. And I don't know if this was God or not, but I was driving down the road going, God, get that one, get that one, get that one, get that one. But do we really understand how much he loves us, how much he values us? See, he knew there was only one way that he could take care of it and that he could do it. But all of us venture, I would venture to say, struggle from time to time on what God really thinks of us. Who here has ever, and hold your hand up. I'm not asking you to admit it for yourself. I'm asking you to admit it for hearing it from somebody else. Who here has ever heard a person say something to the effect, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if God appreciates me. I don't even know if God's concerned about me. Raise your hand. Yeah. We've all heard that. The truth of the matter is we probably have all said it, but I didn't ask you to raise your hand for that purpose. We all struggle with it from time to time, because if we totally understood, the love of God, who he was, how much he adored us, how much he loved us, then nothing negative would ever affect us, because we'd be totally overwhelmed by his love. See, I believe that that's why what Paul and Peter and Stephen and the apostles and the people you read about in the New Testament talk about things, I think that, and why Jesus was able to go through all that he went through, because they had tapped into that baptism of love. I believe that's what you see when you look at Acts 2, 42 to 47, when you have Pentecost and you go through and Peter comes out and preaches the sermon, and you get to Acts 2, 37 and talks about the Holy Spirit piercing their hearts, and then you read Acts 2, 42 to 47 and you see what they're doing. I think there was a genuine move of God, and it was because of an amazing outpouring of God, because they understood and they tapped into. Let me say it again. God wants a family, but he just doesn't want a family. He wants a family that's overwhelmed by his love. And that includes you and you and you and you and you and you and you. God has amazing plans for us. And what I like is even the Gentiles going over to Ephesians 3, 6, and 7, reading our New Living Translation. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. From God's perspective, from the beginning of time, his family included everyone. Male, female, Jew, Gentile, black, green, yellow, pink, white, and blue. What great news is that? From the beginning, all of us, those in us that were in Christ, were considered to be an amazing part of his family and given this amazing desire. See, God chose Paul, though he saw himself as the least, as it says in verse 8, to explain the great mystery that talks about in verse 9 that was prophesied in the Old Testament but wasn't really understood until then, even though Jesus hinted at it at times. The mystery. God had a purpose, has always had a purpose, because he wants all of us to enjoy his blessings. Going on in Ephesians 3, and continuing in the New Living Translation, verse 10 and 11. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety, all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, the ecclesia, you and me, it's not this building. It's us, people who are in Christ, born again people. That are a rich variety, as he talks about. We do not exist for ourselves. You want to be bored? Exist for yourself. Because that's called selfishness, which is an enemy of relationships. It's a friend of loneliness and boredom. The people that I have known that are the happiest people are those who are constantly loving and constantly serving. Just are. It's just the truth. No. We don't exist for ourselves. As it says here in these two verses, we exist to shine forth the eternal glory and presence of Christ Jesus to the angels in the heavenly places, so that the knowledge of God, whom they so adore, increases, causing them to rejoice and glorify him all the more. How many here understand we have a different relationship with Jesus than the angels? We see things about him that they never see. But they do see as we reflect it out of our lives. See, that's a lofty goal. Is there anything more exciting than that? I think there may be. I'm taking a little license here. If you don't like it, close your ears. But I think that if we, the church, are demonstrating the eternal glory and the presence of Jesus and the angels see it, is it possible that those round about us at our jobs and at our neighbors and our family members and the people we interact with that don't know the Lord, is it possible that they might see it also? And as they do, maybe they might get saved. Maybe that's what was happening in Acts 2:42-47 when they were going house to house, they were listening to the apostles' teaching, and they were always praying, they were taking care of each other. How can people not notice that? And people got saved, they got set free, they got healed, they delivered. I always love how that section of scripture ends up, and they were added to the church yearly. No, it wasn't yearly, was it monthly, weekly? Oh, it was daily. There was a move of God there, but people were responding. And all of this enables us to come boldly and confidently into God's presence, as it says in verse 12. See, Paul didn't want us to lose heart. He wanted us to understand. He didn't want us, when trials and tribulations come along and suffering comes along, it's just, we're an offense, folks. It's just going to happen. Satan doesn't like us. But he doesn't want us to lose heart. And instead, he wants us to feel honored, that we would be worthy to suffer for him, but that the love of Christ is worth it. So he prayed, Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I bow my knees. I'm in the ESV now. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Who wants to be filled with all the fullness of God? Paul fell to his knees because he was totally overwhelmed. Paul understood what was going on, and his heart turned immediately to himself and how he could take advantage of it. No, his heart turned to us. That's how we're to respond. And he began to pray for us so that we would understand that all in Christ were in God's family. A literal reading of Ephesians 3:15 says this: from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, : the Father's family. Do you realize you're part of the Father's family? You're part of Daddy's family, Papa's family, Father God's family. I mean, that's mind-blowing. I'm sorry, it just blows my mind. Because I know who I am. And yet, before the world was created, we're a family, a group of people that have been reconciled with God and with each other by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, all because of his great love. Family, community, folks, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers in the faith, bound in eternal relationship by Christ. I mean, remember when Jesus' mother and most of his brothers or sisters, whoever it was, went looking for him? And remember his response? Those of us who follow him and serve God are the mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. Oh, by the grace of God. See, God did it all to get the family he wanted, but there's more. Reading on in Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. Still in the ESV. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is praying that all of God's amazing and glorious attributes, who he is in totality, that it would be richly applied to our spiritual progress. See, with Christ in our hearts. Christ in our hearts. Wow. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we take some things for granted. But now in Christ in our hearts, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit coursing through us. Can you think of anybody else walking on earth that's more blessed than we are? Oh, Lord, that you would help us to remember that moment by moment. Do you see how powerful this is? Why in everything we do, we should render him glorious, properly adoring him, praising him? Why it's so important that we pray, that we read the word, that we obtain all that he has for us, that we desire to impart, because he desires to impart to us all of this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of this points right back to God's amazing love. That huge love that won in the family. Ephesians 18 and 19. Going back to that, putting in my words, the love that is so huge that it has width, infinite width, infinite length, infinite height, and infinite depth to it, that surpasses the knowledge, our knowledge, and leads us into receiving the fullness of God. Receiving the fullness of God. Do you wonder why some people get slain in the spirit? Because I think they just touched on the fullness of God. Because I think when we receive the fullness, I don't know that we can stand. You know? Who knows? If we receive the baptism, or when we receive the baptism of love that's coming to us and the fullness of God, I don't know what's going to happen. I've seen it in the past, and I saw crazy things. But the crazy things led to changed lives. But it all points right back to his love. His love that won the family. Receiving the fullness of God. This love of God is too great to understand fully. I think even when we enter heaven, this is just my opinion, changed forever, without sin, I still don't think we'll understand God fully. I think that as we walk through eternity, we're going to have the privilege of growing in God. I mean, he's still God and we're not. He's infinite. Yeah, at that point we're internal, but we're not infinite. We had a beginning. He has no beginning. I'm not talking about that fact that we won't be perfect, because we will be perfect. It just means we're not God. So what is our part in all of this? It's really simple. It's amazing. He gave us such a small part, but it's so important. We say yes. We just say yes. We say yes, we want to know that love and have your and experience the baptism of your love. We say yes, we want to be part of your family. We say yes, we want to respond to you and do what you would have us to do. We say yes, we want to spend time with you, getting into the Word, praying, fasting, meditating, doing whatever is necessary so that we know more of you day by day. We say yes because you are worthy. We say yes because you're God. That's our job, to say yes. Also to go out and make disciples. But if we're showing forth this, I think it becomes easier. I really do. To be that family that God wanted and knew he would have, that he has here, that he's building here. Because Jesus wanted it too and went to the cross. To take care of the one thing that kept us from being part of the family. And you all know what that one thing is. A three-letter word that starts with S. Sin. Yours and mine. See, fatherhood, family are at the very center of God's heart, at the very center of God's eternal plan. You can see it in God's Word, all through His Word. You can see it from beginning to end, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, and every book in between, all 66 books. And you can see it all around you, too. Everywhere you look in this world, the evidence is overwhelming that in every person's heart, there is a longing for relationships. My father-in-law used to be a psychologist. He's still a psychologist, PhD. But he used to be at the University of Missouri. And one of the last projects he was mostly with working with learning disabilities, but one of his last projects was working with why kids in school contemplated suicide. And it really just came down to being lonely, being bullied, having no friends, not being loved from their perspective. See, the only time that I believe that a person says that they don't want relationships is when they have been deeply hurt in a relationship. But I believe that even then, deep down inside, because we're a child of God, we're creatures all made by God, even if we're rejecting Him, that deep down inside there's still a deep longing to be loved. And to love, and an understanding that relationships are good. They just don't know who they can trust. It's totally understandable. But the truth is, understanding what I've been talking about here, what we've been talking about here, I think it will heal bad father relationships, bad family relationships, bad friend experiences. It has for me. See, I lived in the 60s where people were dropping out of society and dropping out of relationships all over the place. Lived out on the left coast, San Diego, San Francisco, Vallejo, Peace Park, other places, Haight-Ashbury District, Berkeley. And there are two amazing phenomena that occurred then. People, as they were dropping out of society and out of relationships because they weren't finding what they needed, they dropped into the hippie movement, to the drug culture, to the free love community, if you will, where they felt for a period of time that they were loved and fully accepted unconditionally. And it worked well for a while. But then people in that culture began to feel unfulfilled. Surprise. And a whole bunch began looking elsewhere. Fortunately, the church was there. There's a story of a guy named Chuck Smith that pastored a church called Calvary. And they had just laid down some brand new carpet in their sanctuary. And right after that, some long-haired hippie freaks with no shoes, whose last bath was about a month ago, started showing up and walking barefoot across their brand new carpet. And the body began to erupt. And Chuck Smith said, "We're not going to have any of that. If we have to replace the carpet on a weekly basis, we're not going to have any of that." And the church turned around and welcomed him. And people started getting saved by the hundreds, by the thousands, literally by the thousands. There would be baptisms in the ocean of people hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. This is my story. You know, this is my song. I'm praising the Savior all the day long because that's when I got saved. I didn't get saved there. I was over in the Philippines, but it was at the same time with the same thing going on. And just out of just for your edification, just a couple weeks ago, there was a baptism where some churches got together of about 500 people in California in the ocean. And the cool part was there were thousands of people standing along the cliffs watching, along the beaches watching. What a witness. But even secular psychologists and sociologists and counselors believe that people are happier in relationships. Not only that, they're healthier. Not only that, they live longer. Do you understand why Satan doesn't want us to be in relationships? First, because that's how God made us. But second, he doesn't want us to be healthy. He doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want us to live longer. He wants us to be miserable. What kind of a witness is a miserable Christian? But I really believe, church, that all of us, every human, has two deep desires. We're created that way. We can't help it. We may fight it. We may reject them. We may say no. We may have been hurt so many times. And I've known some people that were just amazingly hurt. And it was impossible for them to love. But yet it was possible through Christ. But first, every one of us have a desire to be loved. Is there anybody here that doesn't qualify for that? Every one of us. But here's the second one. Every one of us are only totally fulfilled when we are loving people. That's how God made us. That's why the commands are there. He didn't make these commands. We have to love one another as we love ourselves, that we have to serve each other, that we have to think more highly of each other because he knows we're not capable of, and he's this sick God that enjoys watching us fail. He said those commands because he knows we have the ability to do that, especially by his grace through Christ who strengthens us. That's why I've said it many times, that if we, each one of us in this church, would spend our time loving each other, serving each other, and thinking more highly of each other, then all our needs are going to be met. Because everybody around you is going to be meeting all your needs. And you won't have to fight for yourself, because God will be taking care of you through your brothers and sisters, because it is more fun to give than to receive. Because if we're not giving, our lives are centered on ourselves, which, as I said earlier, leads to boredom, leads to loneliness. Not much of a life. It really isn't. That came to me sometime during this week, and I ran it by about 10 people. And I said, "Am I crazy?" About half of them pastors and half of them not. And they all said, "No, that's true." Pat Bryson's really sweet. He says, "Can I use that?" So I told him if he paid me. We have that kind of relationship. I don't expect anything in the mail. But if we want the opposite of boredom and loneliness, then love and let yourself be loved. Serve and let yourself be served. Honor and let yourself be honored. Don't, when somebody gives you a compliment, go, oh, come on. Say, thank you. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Because it's true. We are these amazing created images that God made. And I'm sorry, but God doesn't mess up. What God creates is perfect. Yeah, it's fallen, but we're back in Christ, so we're perfect again. We are the bride that is without spot or wrinkle. We don't have to wait till the sweet by and by. Yeah, we still got the flesh, and I don't understand. I mean, if I was in charge of the gospel, as soon as we got saved, everything would be perfect, including the flesh. God knows what he's doing better than I do. But we need to desire to walk into the baptism of love. The worship team wants to come back up. That would be great. That God has for us. Please, church, don't hold back. It only hurts you. It doesn't hurt anybody else. Well, it does. It affects the whole body. But don't hold back. Relationship.